a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you for the grace to be up this morning. Thank you for your beautiful people that are sitting here and are watching over the televisions from different parts of the world. We pray that you believe the ministration of this hour, Lord, and let it be to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Last message we had was on hope. It is about the key prisoners of hope. And we're going to continue in the message of hope, but in a different way. The message of today is the believer's hope. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We're going to touch eternal life. Amen. If there is no hope for eternal life, I don't know how many people will be sitting here this morning. But we thank God we have hope. Amen. Eternal life. I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul. Yes, I want to live eternal life. Jesus, save my... Wave to the Lord. Eternal life. Bro James. Eternal life. Yes, I want to live eternal life. God, save my... Put your hands together, everybody. I want to live eternal life. God, save... Eternal life. Yes, I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul. Yes, I want to live eternal life. God, save my... Eternal life. Yes, I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul. Yes, I want to live eternal life. Jesus, save my... I want to live eternal life. Jesus, save my soul. I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul. Hallelujah. The believer's hope, we are going to take our reading from 1 Corinthians 15:19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 19. Read it with me, everybody. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men what? Miserable. Really, really miserable. We live at a time that the enemy, people of the world, want to distract you from this hope. But I want to rekindle our hope this morning on eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The hope of every believer, the reason why we are running this race, and by God's grace we are going to run it to the end. Amen? Because if there is no hope of eternal life, I don't know what I should be doing here. Paul himself put it through. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if there is no hope of eternal life, if there is no resurrection of the dead, if there's no reward for righteousness, if there's not going to be any reunion after this life, you see, of all men, we are what? Miserable. But I want to thank God that there is eternal life for those who will believe in him, that after the years of pilgrimage on this world, if only you will hold on to Christ, if only you will run this race to the end, You are heaven bound. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there is eternal life waiting for you at the end of it all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He said we are miserable if there is none of them, but we know there is one. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and we thank God for it. You know, if you research a little or look a little, you see a lot of what they call NDE. We're not going to use that today for our discussion much. NDE stands for near-death experiences. Some of these books were written by doctors, cardiologists, people that doesn't want to believe in God, but after they've gone through some experience that the medical science able to bring people from the brink of, you know, when they cross the veil a little, and they pull them back and they say what I have seen, and people start to testify. I have my own testimony of such. I know different ones, and people see these things beyond, but we don't want to base our faith on hearsay. But we want to base it on the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our song says we want to live an eternal life because Jesus Christ saved our soul. But we live at a time that so many challenges, so many confusion, people coming in to throw diverse kind of things to you and life and so on, that some people at times start to question eternal life or not. Maybe Paul has some of the Christians start to wonder. Like some of them say, we have waited for all these years. Since our father's time, there will be promises of his coming. And so, he pointed out to them, not that Paul, Apostle Paul, is doubting eternal life. As we are going to prove from the scriptures, he was not in any doubt of eternal life. But he put out to them and said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men miserable. This is also a message to comfort some of our brethren, both here and other places, who recently have lost loved ones who are going through the process of sorrow. But he said we shouldn't sorrow like those who have no hope. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To rekindle, to remind us that there's going to be a reunion. Amen. The first question, I remember one of our brothers between the other, said, the first question is this person a Christian? Yes. Then there's hope. There's a reunion coming. There's a time for us to meet again. And under a different condition altogether, as we're going to point out with the scriptures this morning. Amen. Now, who is Paul the Apostle for us to lay a foundation? That he was not talking of doubting eternal life. No. He was saying it that with all his life, I know, I believe, that there is eternal life. Amen. Paul was not always pro-Christian. In fact, he was anti-Christian. He was so much against Christian in the beginning. But this Paul was also a very, very educated man. He's a doctor, PhD holder, in the teams of the sect of the Pharisees of his days. And when Christianity was introduced, he hated Christianity. But he was educated. He was somebody that likes to research things. Along the way, in his faith journey, he was brought out to Agrippa and Festus. To show you how educated he was, the king, who is also highly educated at the point, says, Paul, your high education has made you, your high learning has made you mad. He said to him, no, king, I wish that everybody here would be like me without the bonds, which he was then bound for Christ. He hated Christianity so much that he goes out to persecute. In his own language, he said, I persecuted the church of Christ beyond measure. That is beyond normal proportion. The punishment does not fit the crime by any way. It is way, 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 way high out of proportion. And he said in his own language again, I wasted the church of God. He persecuted, he killed, He stamped them out. He went everywhere in the cave, in the mountains, anywhere they found. He went around rampaging and destroying anyone that is called after the name of Christ. But one day on his way to Damascus, he met with the stone of Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His description, he said it was like the strength of a thousand, like, you know, thousand suns shining upon him. The brightness was so much that it blinded him, came blind. And then a voice came out of that sun, powerful light, and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Point of warning for everybody who are persecuting believers. Say, "Who are you, Lord?" Say, "I am who? Jesus." Amen? "Whom do you persecute?" It is hard for you to kick against a stone. No, just go kick, start kicking on that brick wall. You're only hurting your leg. So this process went on, and Paul was recovered of his eyesight. And when he was recovered, he said, "I conferred not with any flesh or blood." He went on a wilderness experience for 3.5 years. He's a kind of person that doesn't do anything half measure. He researched, he prayed, he went, he searched about things of heaven, about things of this person that met him on the way. And he says at the end, when he has done all this research, he came out with authority. He came out with thought, says the Lord. He came out with this knowledge, and he says to everyone that will listen, in the book of Galatians, it says, "If any man or any woman for that matter, or even angels, anything created, came and say anything against, contrary to what we have spoken," he said, "let such be what? An anathema, a cursed individual." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He said that he was so sure of his faith in Christ Jesus, of what he has spoken or what he has believed, that if such person come out and say anything other contrary to this, what are the things that Paul was saying about eternal life? 14 years after that, he was saying, "I know a man in Christ." He was talking of himself, who the Lord took on a journey and took him to see what we call the third heavens, the paradise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he said, "I had unspeakable..." I just love reading his writing. He's so eloquent. He's so organized. He's so articulate that he has a way of bringing things to clearance. God picked the best to write the scriptures. He was the best or one of the best. He studied under Gamaliel, the professor of those days that is renowned. So he was like an Ivy League A-plus student. But he has no language to describe what he saw. He has no language to be able to translate to me and you to our own level what our eternal life is going to be like. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He thought about it. He looked about it. He said there is no way to conjure it up. Later on, I start to see people trying to make measure, try to figure it out what our hope is like, the believer's hope. And I was thinking about this morning, say that the street is made of gold, and I scratch my head. That's the best they can come up with. They have nothing to compare with. The gates were made of precious stones, diamonds, pearls. That is, have you ever even Bill Gates or whoever in all their riches, whoever they are of today, the Bezos of this world, and so on? They don't have street of gold. They don't have gates of pearls. If they even dare do it overnight, somebody will come and scrape all of it and pocket it. Unless if everybody there have street of gold. But that is the base they can use to describe what God has in store for us. Gates that is made of diamond. Many of us haven't even seen 1 carat diamond. How much more the one that is? But that is them trying to describe the glorious homecoming that awaits those who believe in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul, having looked around, couldn't figure it out. He started to say it again. He said, look what I have seen, what God has shown me. He said that eyes have not seen. Ear has not what? Heard. What God prepared for those that love him. No wonder one story that I was told me about a sister who has gone through hell in life. He went on, passed on to go be with the Lord, and some brethren wouldn't let go. They prayed and prayed and prayed and said, Lord, restore them, restore her. And God did restore her, and she was furious with everybody. Why did you bring me back to this veil of sorrows? If only you know where I am already, you will be pitying yourself, not me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So even as we mourn our lost ones, even as we cry over them, let us not cry like them that have no hope. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 to 52. 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Behold, I show you what a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Whether it is by what we look as a natural way, death or whatever, or whether it is by rapture, by God's grace as we believe, we shall all be changed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be change. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the rhetorical question that Paul was asking was not to say that there is any question, any iota, any kind of argument, no controversy in his mind that there is eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And to bring it home, when he has seen with the eyes of faith, across the seas, towards the shore where the mighty God is waiting for him, he says, I have run the race. I have kept the faith. And now I finish my course and wait for the crown which Christ Jesus has for them that believe in him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Yes, like the book of John said in John 15, 24, so he said, we have passed from death to life. We have passed from death to life. If we have such hope, if we have such hope and expectation, what manner of people are we ought to be in pursuit that we may obtain that eternal kingdom? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? So, yeah, he was just asking a question rhetorically. Not that he was in doubt, any question in his mind of eternal life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we started the message by singing the song, Eternal Life. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. Because there was no language to describe it, and I looked through the scripture, does not really, because what the Bible says is that eyes have not seen, ear has not heard. So there is no language, there's no way either person among us here can really describe what is there waiting for us. But there is a little effort made on first Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And let's start from verse 4. Because they were trying to say this or present it to us in a way that me and you can relate. Me and you can understand. Me and you can relate to this life and a little comparison of what God have in store for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He started to say, and God shall do what? Wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, amen? Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things has passed away. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for this word are true and faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, can you imagine? You can't imagine it. There's no way for me to imagine it. No more pain. Just the physical one. We're not talking of the spiritual pains or the emotional pain we go through. The back pain on the physical, the neck pain gone, the tooth pain, the headache pain, all the arthritis pain, nothing of it. What kind of world it is? All the pain doctors will be out of work. But that is giving us a little light of what God has in store. There will be no more pain. We live in a life, a world that a phone call can change your mind, your life. Turn it upside down within a moment. We live in a world whereby things can go from good to bad to worse in such a speed that it boggles the mind. But for the grace and the mercies of God, who can even live in this veil of sorrow? But he said that in that world to come, because imagine it, understand it, he said, I make all things new. That means the perception, the understanding you have of life as it is completely gone on our internal life. He said there will be no more crying. Your midnight cry will be gone forever in Jesus' name. There are so much we cry about. So many things. So many pain. So many turmoil. So many just beyond. At times what we can hold on or handle, but for God's grace. And he said, there will be no more crying. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more death. Because the old enemy who has ravaged the world from beginning, from Adam till death, till now, is done away with. There will be no barrier. There will be no stress for you. How do I pay my bill? How do I take care of this? How do I take care of that? That and that and that. There will be no more crying. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the hope we have in Christ Jesus. That is the hope we are looking forward to. I think Isaiah caught it in a way that I love. The kind of peace that will reign in those days. The kind of environment. No, all of them are just trying to capture it the best they can. He said in these days, in Isaiah, I believe 65 or 11, any of both of them. He said that in those days, when the time, when God's kingdom shall be established, amen, that even the wolf shall feed with a lamb. That is not natural. Amen. And even a kid shall lead a lion, a roof. They will eat grasses. That's kind of peace that will be in this kingdom. The days of the warlords are over. The days of somebody carrying a gun to come and shoot people is over. He said there will be no killing or destroying in any or all of my holy mountain, says the Lord, because a new day is coming. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Saying this to comfort the hearts of our people and to ginger ourselves also, to wake us up to what we believe, to what we are hoping. Our race is not in vain. One time the dials were cast so bad and people start to leave Jesus because they don't fully understand what he was saying. He's telling them to become a cannibal or something, and they start leaving. And he turned to the disciple and they said to, that's John chapter 6, verse 68, John 6, 68. And he turned to the disciple and said, then Simon, then go to 67. And he said, then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? And he said, they thought about it. Peter thought about it. They said, am I going to go to Krishna or whatever? Assuming the question is posed to you now. Is it going to be to Buddha? That's the fat guy that you see in every Chinese restaurant. Have his pot there. He's fat and stuff. Is that where we're going to go to? Is it to Allah? No, none of those have life. He said, no, sir. Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou doest what? Read with me. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen? Repeat with me. Thou hast the words of eternal life. That is done, sealed, and delivered. There is no other man given among us or this world, any other, that we can be saved. It is only through the name of Jesus Christ. No other name given among men whereby we might be saved. That is why God did this for me and for you, for a hope. Because when Adam sinned and failed and died, there was a separation between man and God. The eternal design was in course. Things were not going the way it is. It has to take a redemptive blood to pull us back from the glimpse again. That eternal life. Many times Christians at times lose sight of what is waiting for us. But in many endeavors of life, what keeps me going is the dividend. Maybe I'm working hard 12 hours, 14 hours, 8 hours. I say, whoa, it's too much. But I look at, okay, I'm going to make some money to take care of my family. That keeps you going. Maybe you want to be highly well educated, and that is your own dividend. Sort of it. I want people to see me for what I am. I'm really intelligent. I'm going to do it. Or they make money and they build a nice house or whatever it is. For us, the ultimate prize is eternal life. And for your loved ones that have gone and be with the Lord, he wouldn't even qualify it as death. He said they are sleeping. Because one day they are going to wake up, blessed be the name of the Lord. And that day will be a new day. Amen? That day will be a new day. And that is what we are fighting, holding on to. Paul said, if there is not this eternal life, no reward for righteousness, no reunion, no time that the laborer will lay down and be at rest, then we are of all men miserable. So the main point of this discussion, I want you to beware, if you are watching this or you are sitting here this morning, that there will be no eternal life for you without salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. This message is for believers. Now, this one is for unbelievers. There is hope for eternal life if you are a believer. And I urge you to run like Paul says. I've run this race. I've kept the faith. I held to the course, and now I wait for the crown which the righteous God will give to those who love him at his coming. But for an unbeliever who may listen or see this as we are speaking, and you want this hope, and you want to obtain this hope that I have, that most people or everybody here should have, there will be none for you without salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. There will be none for you without salvation. And if you are looking for that salvation through Allah, Peter answered it for you. You have the word of eternal life. If you are looking for that salvation through your own effort, through your own righteousness, Peter said it to me and you this morning, there is no salvation other than from Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when we talk of salvation, you can approach it in different ways. But there's only one way. Some people understand it as something they have to do to make eternal life. That is great. Some people look at it as something they have to do to be, you know, quote unquote, good and good person. And so many people come to church in that light. They don't really make what it takes to make it to the kingdom of God. I want you to know that you have to walk the walk not just saying it, but do your part to make it to the kingdom of God. Coming to church does not guarantee you eternal life. Dressing up and being part of a good work that people are doing, and I encourage good works, does not guarantee you eternal life. The only thing that can guarantee you eternal life is our Lord Jesus Christ, when you repent of your sins. Praise be the name of the Lord. Amen. I had an experience a few days ago, as we're about to close on this. I went to buy some equipment for the ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the equipment we are buying were running to thousands of dollars. So I tried to make a transaction with the debit card, and it couldn't go through because we are over certain limit that they allow us to spend in a day. So I have to stay in this place for a very long time, call a bank, waiting for them to call and give me authorization to pay. And every second I was there, praise the Lord. And each time this guy that was selling to me, he kept asking me to buy insurance for this equipment. I asked again, how much is the insurance? You give me the amount. How long will it cover? For 2 or 3 years. I did a quick calculation. How likely that this thing will break within 2 or 3 years? I'm not sure. Another 10 minutes while I'm waiting, he said, buy insurance for this equipment again. I said, okay. I did a calculation again. I didn't want to buy. Every few minutes, he will remind me to buy insurance, buy insurance, buy insurance, buy insurance, buy insurance. So anyway, when we finished the transaction, I asked him, have you bought your own insurance? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, huh? I said, have you purchased your own insurance? What insurance? I said, for your soul. He scratched his head. He has a beard, a long beard. He scratched it earlier and said, well, I used to be part of a church. I've dropped out. So our question now is my turn. I'm on a better ground. I told him that insurance is important. I remember on several occasions that I'm thankful that I have insurance. One of them, I canceled my premium on a car insurance, and because I was paying so much, I never had an accident or anything. So I said, cancel it. Called my agent, said, cancel this insurance. He canceled it. 2 days after that, I had a dream that my car would be stolen. I called him back and said, put back my insurance. His name was John. He said, Emmanuel, will you make up your mind? Do you want insurance or do you say cancel it? I say, yes, I know I told you 2 days ago to cancel my insurance, but right now I want you to put it back right away. He did it. He put my insurance back. 2 days after that, I woke up in a very secure apartment I was living, and my car was gone. How happy I was to have insurance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The other one was in the evening of sometime, my insurance agent say, you told me to be searching for a better insurance. I say, yes. So I just got one. It's going to save you $1,000 because by then I just put my son, and when the children are teenager, insurance just goes up. Thousands of dollars. I was crying over it. They let me, I saw a new one. So I say, cancel the old one. Put me in the new one right away. Say, okay. That was like in the evening. In the morning, I was going to work and somebody hit me. I said, Lord, is my insurance still there? Because I just canceled it yesterday night. If I don't have insurance, I'm in trouble. Thanks be to God. The lady did a good job. The team went through 12 midnight to the new insurance. Just to fix that little stuff on my car was $12,000. So I was happy that I have insurance. So I had this guy say, have you bought insurance for your soul? He said, why do I need insurance? I said, because your soul is in danger. Just like you are telling me every to buy insurance for this equipment, what of yours? That discussion brought something that is very important. After some time, he scratched his beard again and said, is it guaranteed? Amen? I want to ask everybody here, in your heart of hearts, as a believer, as one that knows the Lord, are you ensured that your eternity is guaranteed? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, he wasn't talking of asking you whether your insurance was guaranteed. He was talking of, if at all anything happened, are we sure? Are we sure that he who have promised is able? Is that eternity guaranteed? Are we sure that we can cash in on it? Is there a dividend? Is there going to be a runaround? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I start to look at the characteristics of the insurances we have. In the worldly insurance, when you buy insurance here, it is not free. Every year your premium keep going up. That's why I canceled that one that the Lord gave me a dream and said, put it back on again. The insurance we have, Christ Jesus, yeah, it is free and there's no premium. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And there is no premium because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, me, you, white, black, green or yellow, rich or poor, I will believe is guaranteed eternal life. And you will cash it right away when it is time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The insurance we have does not require renewal every year. The insurance was urging me to buy has to be renewed if you want it to go. And somehow I found out that when you buy insurance for those equipments, they never go bad until one day or 2 days after the insurance has expired. At times I start wondering, did they program this? I have a friend that decided, okay, I know my truck is going to go bad. So he said, why are you doing that? He would drive the truck and put it in gear like this. I said, why are you doing that? He said, I want the transmission to break now. Why are you doing that? He said, I want the transmission to break now. I said, why? He said, because my insurance on this transmission will expire in about a few weeks, and if it didn't break down, I guarantee you that once it's over, it will break. So he will go for nowhere and drive the truck and put it on transmission up and down. I don't know if I should blame him or not. So the renewal on insurance we have is this, that there is none. Because in those days, the high priest, they will go every year to renew it. They will go with the blood of lamb and put and sprinkle on the veil with chain around their waist so that if they kapoof or die inside there, they will pull them out. But he said that he entered once, blessed be the name of the Lord. He entered only once. Hallelujah. He did it only once. He did it only once. And it is secured forever. So not only are you going to pay any premium, it is free. You have renewal. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is guaranteed. Yes, it is guaranteed. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19. It is guaranteed. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Amen? Both what? Sure and steadfast as that which entereth into the veil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One translation says, which hope that we have that is firm and secure. It's unmovable. Eternal life that God has promised me and you, those who love him and will run this race, go through the days of our pilgrimage to the end, is sure and secure. It is firm. It's like an anchor of the soul. Anchor is what they use to stabilize. Once they throw it overboard, it stabilizes the ship. There's no move. There's no shaking. Guaranteed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I look at the insurance of this world. They come say, come with package. They will tell you it is covered, this, that is covered. But in the fine print, they have these things they put there that you don't even know. So one man went and bought an insurance for, because where he lives, there is trees and a lot of trees. And when trees fall on the car, if you don't have insurance, you are in trouble. If you fall on your house, you're having trouble. So he bought an insurance and went to sleep happy. I have insurance. Then one day, a tree fell on his car. Rushed to the insurance people and say, I want to cash in. I have insurance. They say, oh, yeah. Yeah, sure, you have insurance. What kind of tree fell on your car? Say, what do you mean? You said that I'm covered for trees. Yeah, yeah, but you are covered for Iroko tree. There's no Iroko tree where he is. Have to go like Africa or somewhere to find out. I say, what? You told me I'm covered for tree stuff, yes, but now you are telling me what kind of tree. Yes, you are not covered for Iroko tree. If only you were covered for this kind of tree or that tree or that tree, then we will immediately pay you for this. I don't blame people. No, you are not covered. But the coverage we have, the benefit we have, the assurance is this, that it is like that that entereth an anchor of the soul. It is both sure and steadfast, like that I enter it within the veil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He started to speak about this. And we are glad. What shall it profit a man, a woman, anybody sitting here, to gain the whole world, lose your very soul? So there is nothing you can use to compare it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Said, as we said before, that eyes have not seen what God, the benefit, the dividend of this insurance is about. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he says that this is so wonderful that this insurance will grant you something that is beyond comprehension of man, that you will be a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Amen? That when we have run our race and keep the faith and hold on to that course, there is hope for the believers. Blessed be the name of God. So as we stand on our feet, everybody, you are watching this message or you've heard it, say, how can I be part of this? I call you witness that he that promised is able. You don't have to put any deposit. You don't have to do any ceremony for it or anything or go above and beyond. Just come as you are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you are no more in line with the Lord, if you are forsaking him, if you have left him, just come as you are. Without a plea. Because there's one that have done it. Jesus Christ has paid the price. You will not need to renew it. The premium is free. And the water is sweet. He said, he that is athirst, come. He that is athirst, come. If you are thirsty, come and drink of that water free today. Because it's waiting on that beautiful shore beyond. He said, with the eyes of faith, you see it. That day is coming. From the day you are born, says that it's appointed unto men once to die. But after that judgment, judgment is not for me and you. But one way or the other, we are going to meet with the Lord. And today is only the day that you have. You cannot guarantee the next hour. It's not secured. Your salvation has to be now. Having many times the opportunity of people calling me to be on their best side, or to be around when they are about to go meet their creator, I'm surprised. I can't recall anybody that I've ever questioned eternity. The only concern some have had is, am I prepared? Am I ready? If you are not ready, if in your heart you know you are not ready, but you've been coming to church, or you've been part of the church system, but you are not ready like that young man, who asked me, is he guaranteed? On you this day. Make haste while the sun shines. Do not delay. Jesus Christ is calling. And everybody who is listening, he loves you. It doesn't matter what you're going through or what you've gone through. Your loved one that has gone home, just keep running. One day we'll see them. One of the things he make new, everybody that have been there will see those people who die old and wrecked with diseases and stuff. And they are as young as they can be, sweet 16. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Those you have bald hair that is gone, it will all be fully grown. That eye that you cannot see dimming out, wow, Jesus will renew it again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You will walk on the street with gold. That's the best description they have. And gaze with pearls. And in those days, when you start to pray, say it's already been heard. Before you speak, he will hear you. And before you call, he say, I will answer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the peace that we have in our soul. That we have a hope for the believers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if you are here, you don't have Jesus. Please make haste. Repeat with me as I pray. Jesus Christ, come into my life. Take your place again. Give me the grace to run this race, even unto the end. Grant, Jehovah God, that I be filled with the Holy Spirit, the enabler, the counselor, the helper. Let him help me to run unto the end, even in Jesus' name. I want to live an eternal life. Save my soul, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The praise team. Eternal, eternal life. Eternal, eternal life. I want to live an eternal life. Lord, save my soul. I want to live an eternal life. God, save my soul. Eternal life.
Eternal life. I want to be.